evening, everybody. Welcome this evening. I declare this ordinary council meeting of the 13th Alice Springs Town Council open for the transaction of business as set out on our agenda. I welcome the councillors and officers present and, of course, members of the media and public who are present. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the Central Arrernte people who are the traditional owners and custodians of Alice Springs, and a reminder to elect members and officers that this meeting is being recorded and will be placed on the Council's website. This evening we have Pastor Mark Teal from the Lutheran Church to deliver our prayer.
Sorry.
So I invite you all to stand.
Robin Zatto.
Sorry.
Mark has retired and gone south to Port Lincoln. There's a replacement for him.
Okay.
I'll introduce myself if you like.
Thank you, Pastor. Could we all stand, please? Thank you.
Yes, so I'm Pastor Robin Zatto from the Lutheran Church here in Alice Springs, newly arrived at the beginning of October. Just want to put before you that part of the heritage of our church is that during the Reformation time there in the 1500s, was very much highlighted the importance of government, of the structure of part of the community. And so it is thereby also that we also include in the prayers of our church regularly our local councils, our state, federal, and indeed world governments too. So in this time, let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the gifts of structure in society, that you sustain and maintain our communities, our societies. Pray you continue to bless us with the gift and talents and abilities of those who lead us. Guide those who are in this room to care for the community around them, all the challenges and issues, and bless them in all that they think, say and do, so that this can be a great place to live for all those who reside here. Lord, we commend this evening into your care and all that proceeds from it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor. Please be seated. Any apologies, please, Mr. CEO?
Yes, Chair, we have one apology from Councillor Patterson.
Councillor Patterson, thank you. Could I have somebody move to accept the apology of Councillor Patterson? Thank you, Councillor Orrick. Seconded, Councillor Debrenny. Any against? Thank you. We'll move into... Have you received any questions from members of the public about items on the agenda this evening, Mr. CEO?
Not tonight, Chair.
Okay. I call on councillors to disclose any conflict of interest with any items in our open section with regard to matters on that agenda pursuant to Section 7374 of the Local Government Act. Councillor Melky?
Mr. Mayor, I'd in fact like to withdraw a declaration of conflict of interest. I took some advice today in relation to community services item in relation to, I think it's 14.2.1 or it might be 14.3.3. That's in relation to the youth program that was discussed.
14.3.3?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Where I declared a couple of times, including last night, it was on the basis of one of the people that make up one of the organisations mentioned in the report. He is a tenant of our business. But when I explained it to those who I took advice from today, it was deemed that I don't have a conflict. And that was on the basis that I don't have a direct commercial relationship with him. The relationship is with the owner of the property. And whilst we receive a fee for managing the property, the relationship is with the owner of the property, and he being a tenant is one step removed from that. So I will participate in that discussion tonight. And thank you for those who mentioned and had kind words yesterday in the discussion about the conflict, but that's me being certain. Thank you.
Thank you. I go to the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. I've also received advice that I can stay in the meeting for youth matters generally, but I've chosen to leave should any youth empowerment program items be specifically discussed in detail.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Section 67(3) of the Local Government Act 2015, I present the minutes of our ordinary council meeting held here recently on the 10th of November for confirmation. I have a councillor who was present. Move that they be accepted. Councillor Cocking, seconded Councillor Melking. Are there any against? No. I'll move on to matters arising from the minutes, which are not otherwise dealt with by committee. Do members have any matters? Councillor Banks.
Thank you. I would like to just inquire about the letter to the Chief Minister, which is on page, I think it's 6.2 is the response, and then also to the Director Taylor, just in response to the questions taken on notice.
Okay, sorry, I'm having difficulty. 6.2,
I think it's
letter to the Chief Minister.
Yes, it is. Has it been received back? Yes, it is 6.2.1 on page 7 of Diligent. Just have we had a response from the Chief Minister in regards to our request to meet? And the other one was to the Director, just in response.
I'll deal them one at a time. Thanks, Councillor Banks. The first question is to the CEO.
Yes, thank you. Through yourself, Chair, I have not seen the response. It may have arrived without me seeing it, but not yet.
Thank you. From that, I would take on behalf of Councillor Banks, could we please follow it up tomorrow? Thank you. Your second question, Councillor Banks, to the Director. I'll go to the Director. Well, we'll just see. We'll see. Thanks, Director.
Through the Chair, yes, these are the questions that Councillor Banks put up and the CEO did leave the room. Through the Chair, officers are working through that report. We had put the program on hold because of COVID-19 and the South Australian borders coming up, but I do anticipate to have a response to those questions in a report for the next ordinary meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just an update on 15.2, just in regards to the... Oh, yeah.
We can keep moving.
Just in regards to the Sports Facilities Advisory Committee and the Mr. Waterford's request around the swimming club.
Okay. This issue was discussed at the Aquatic and Leisure Centre meeting earlier this week, and we've been advised that the officers will be bringing a report back on some solutions. They've also met with Gabriel in the last recent period. It's also spoken to a few different councillors. The decision will come back from our offices. I think it was stated to the 30th of November, and they will, or they're going to meet with Gabriel again then with a particular offer. Now, the question around the SFAC, I'm sorry I missed that.
Oh, sorry, that was just the question just in regards to SFAC, and because that was the nature of the question back in... 2 weeks ago was this.
The question originally asked, I think, was answered clearly by the director at the time around the position on SFAC. So they're not a member of SFAC at this stage, but the officers have taken on board, that's what we were told at the Aquatic and Leisure Centre meeting this week, and so then that'll come through to full council. going to move on now and present my report for the month. Just before I ask for somebody to move and second it, I'd like to mention to the room that a former Deputy Chief Minister of the Northern Territory and long-serving member for Katherine, Mike Reed, passed away earlier today. So a lot of people across local government would have come into contact with Mike at some stage, but yeah, he sustained an illness earlier today and has passed away, so condolences to his family. I'd ask you, Mr. CEO, if you could send those condolences on to the family. Thank you. Otherwise, I move my report. Second it, will you, Councillor Melky? Thank you. Questions? Any against? Can I answer? Oh, sorry, Councillor Cocking?
Oh, not against.
All right. So you got a question on one of the items?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. 1.2, just interested in Damon Ralston. Not sure who he is, but waste export bans, and interested to hear about that.
Certainly. Councillor, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Just 1.25, specifically with regard to, I guess, the meeting, particularly with regard to the Central Land Council.
Certainly. Thank you. Okay, I'll go to Councillor Cocking's question first, 1.2. Damon Ralston is a young university student who has been working on this issue. He's been isolated in Darwin from Victoria for some time, and he's writing a paper. And when the waste export bans were brought up in relation by the Prime Minister in recent times, he rang me to ask about our waste and what we did here. He also did point out that there are some grants coming down the line from the federal government in relation to how we deal, or different proposals from councils across the nation. I did speak about this at the Legant meeting recently and expressed to others to follow up on that. So it's at this stage he was interested for his paper how we and what we did here in Central Australia. And yeah, I've passed on to some of the others. Darwin were very interested. Some of the regionals have concerns about how they can, or what they can do with their waste. Councillor Price, Luritippa, it is 1.25, Luritippa called a meeting, invited Northern Territory Police, Central Australian Aboriginal Congress, Central Land Council, Territory Families, I think the name has changed, but I've got it down as Territory Families, Department of the Chief Minister, and it's about working together and community outcomes. It was interesting because a lot of our organisations, us included, are in a bit of a silo at times as to what we do. Luritippa were surprised at what some of the associations did. They've expressed interest to continue these discussions. It was just after that the Territory Families 24/7 facility was announced and came online, started last weekend, and it'll turn in. Well, it worked the weekend, but once holidays arrive, it'll work around the clock. Discussions around the different modes of transport, how we deal with issues, a whole lot of things like that. It was, to myself, it was very interesting to hear how others worked towards it. The suggestion was made to Luritippa to re-invite Tangentyre to the next one, and also invite the regional councils to come to them. I might defer to the CEO if there's any others he'd like to add from that meeting.
No, thank you, Chair. I think you've summarised it well.
Okay. So we'll keep council up to date as they progress. Councillor Satour.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that just hearing on what you're saying, I think there'd be some value in inviting NIAA, potentially.
Mm-hmm. So we will pass that on to Luritippa because they organised the meeting and they called it. It's I suppose, what we were asking for 2 months ago of the Chief Minister and the Minister for Local Government to include us in some sort of discussion, which hadn't happened, but Luritippa, through Graham Smith, took it up and has started the ball rolling. Yeah. So that's a good one. You made a note of that. Thank you. Okay. I would ask elected members and officers if now's the time to provide any notifications of matters to be raised in general business. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Just to follow on from what you were discussing with regard to that particular meeting and just around the Central Land Council.
Certainly. Councillor Banks.
Thank you. I'd like to raise the Open Space Network Master Plan, Ross Planning Report from 2013.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Councillor Ulrich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to raise just an item briefly about our access advisory, just because of the long delay in or time frame now over Christmas New Year, just a comment about flood
okay.
management in Alice Springs.
Certainly. I'll come back to that in general business. I'll move on to 13.1, our finance report, as laid out in front of everybody there. I'll ask for somebody, sorry, who is the Chair of Finance? I keep forgetting. So is it the empty seat? Thank you. Okay. Thank you. All right then. So I'd ask somebody to move the finance report be accepted. Thank you. Could I have a, that's moved by Councillor Cocking, seconded by Deputy Mayor. Any against? Questions arising from it? Okay, I have a question to the Director. In the report under strategic analysis, I still ask the question around the fact that the interest on our term deposits are compounded. I understand that, and that was answered to me last month, but I'd still like to see a figure appear in our papers of the interest that we earn on those term deposits. Could we please have that listed in our papers?
Through the Chair, I have spoken to our finance manager in that regard. It would be difficult to provide accurate figures. We reinvest the interest whenever a term deposit is reinvested. Year to date, we have approximately $56,000 reinvested, and we redeemed approximately $27,000 of that. We do report that on an annual basis, and our manager is still looking to how we can accurately report that on a monthly basis.
Okay. I have concerns flagged to me if they can't do it. I really would like to see it as it comes into play. If we can draw a line in the sand and go from that point on, we should be able to work out from our statements what interest we've earned during this financial year. That's what I'd like to see reported, so it can be reported back quarterly, at least through this, because that's when we meet on those, if we could.
Through the Chair, yes, noted, and we are working on that.
Thank you. Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The world of finance is ever-changing. The attitude towards finance and investment is completely fast-paced to adapt to a number of things, including the environment, and those who are strategically within their corporation operating in that space where they need to be conscious of the harm they have on the environment. Recently, a major, one of the major fours had introduced a new policy on their lending criteria, and that is that they would consider not supporting applications and funding applicants who are in an industry or work for corporations that may well be contributing to the negative aspect of environment, they're not environmentally conscious to the extent that they would be satisfied. So there's a lot of movement in that space, and I think it's probably time that we, since the major fours are considering it, hasn't been available in the past as much as it has been perhaps now with the attitude change. Where it comes to us investing our cash funds, we too should adopt that attitude, which is consistent with all of our works in relation to the conversations we've all had, crediting a number of elected members in this space, Councillor Cocking, the Mayor, Councillor Banks, and Councillor Satour and others, who have at one point or another discussed this in a positive way. I haven't been in support of this before, but now that the majors are considering it, I think we need to review our investment policy as to where our cash lives for a little while, so we're moving with the times. And those who are prepared to support that kind of thinking, I'm now coming around to that level of because there is lower risk, and I'll highlight the fact that my priority is always to protect the money of the ratepayer in the investment account, and to take as zero risk with their money in terms of investing in an area that would be a chance to lose their money. So now that the majors are playing, I have full confidence in majors, major banks to consider, and if that's an option to us now, we should potentially review our policy around investment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's what I'd like to drop on the floor for you.
So thank you, through the chair. We will take that on notice. It is something that we have looked at before. It has been raised. We did a quick bit of research, but we can re-look at that and present something back to council in due course.
Thanks, Mr. CEO. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just noting, I think there was an update to the policy a couple of years ago. Just a couple of questions. Just one. Seems to be recurring just around the street lighting reserve, and I thought we'd talked about it and resolved it, but it seems like it's back to where it was a couple of meetings ago, where we said we weren't necessarily happy with the repurposing of that reserve. I'll just leave it at that, Mr. Mayor. Is that?
Thank you, Councillor Cocking. I'll go to the director. I think what page are you on? That where you read, what number?
Oh, sorry, page 27, just literally in the beginning.
27.
27
of
you. 278.
Go to the director.
So, quote, for reporting purposes, the reserve previously entitled street lighting has been renamed to security, safety and street lighting upgrade to adequately reflect the purpose of this reserve.
It's through the chair, we added the word at street lighting to ensure that that was incorporated into the change of that name for that reserve. So street lighting was included. When we renamed the reserve last time, it was just the security and the safety to reflect the security and safety lighting within the town, but we have now included street lighting.
Through the chair, just my understanding of that is that that wasn't necessarily the purpose of that reserve when we set it up. It was a different purpose for that reserve. It was ultimately to cover potential, well, it's in the annual report, potential liabilities as opposed to actually upgrades. So I just wonder, it puts forward a notion that we have, you know, $3 million in the bank to do security light upgrades when we don't necessarily have put it aside for that purpose.
Through the chair, there is sufficient money there for the reserves, for the street lighting, should we require those reserves, and the remainder of the funding would be used for the security and the safety lighting within the CBD.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Councillor Cocking. An interesting one to me, although I'm not one of them, if I could ask the director, but nowhere in the EFT payment summary report for the month ending October do I find any payment for my fellow elected members. Is there a reason for that?
Through the chair, I will have to look at it, possibly a timing of the report.
Okay, it's usually paid mid-month, And I was very confused the first time. I've not seen it in the payment sheet, so...
Through the chair, we normally get it on the last day of the month.
Yeah, but it usually shows up in the middle on here when it's drawn out. So I was just curious, going through the numbers, that none of them had been paid. I was waiting for a riot, but there you go. Thank you. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just on page 57, just in regards to debtors' analysis, just a question just in regards to, there seems to be, a significant amount with fines recovery, and just wondering how that's progressing or how the movement of those from fines recovery to ultimately being paid, or what the process is for the ultimately $338,000 that we currently have it in that space. Thanks.
Yes, through the chair. We have made inquiries with that. Fines Recovery is a government-based organisation and not a private debt collector, so we are in their hands in that regard. We have contacted them on several occasions to discuss what action they're taking to recover these and also whether we are permitted to put them to a local debt collector.
Councillor Cohen.
Thank you, through the chair. I suppose the biggest line item is public places infringement, so I'm assuming that's not parking, that's people might be drinking in public, might be any number of things that we've got there. And I just wonder in terms of the possibilities of us actually recovering those fines, and I suppose at what point do we waive those? Because I suppose I've always been uncomfortable with the prospect of people potentially ending up in prison because they've lost their licence because they have unpaid fines, and then they end up driving without a licence, and next thing you know, they find themselves in prison. So I just wanted to just see where we're sitting with that, and whether that's ever considered an option in terms of waiving fines at times when that might be a possibility for people.
Yes, through the chair, Fines Recovery will continue to pursue these matters for a period of 7 years. At any time, any member of the public or person that has had an infringement put onto them can write to council, and we will consider whether to rescind that infringement or not.
Thank you.
Councillor Banks.
Thanks. Can I just ask a supplementary? I know that it's common practice within infringements and timings of that to have a percentage threshold and to review that, and my recollection is that it has happened. We've had a conversation regarding that particular topic. So I guess what I take from Councillor Cocking's questions and the answer being 7 years, so we're based in a 7-year cycle, and at what point do we as elected, because within that 115,000 there'll be a scale of 1 year, 5 years, 7 years. So at what point do we, as elected members, have a responsibility to understand the percentage threshold of infringement and to the benefits of pursuing versus writing them off? Would we get a report? Is that an annual thing? It would need to be annual given that the cycle continues. So at what point do we get that reported to us?
Thanks, Councillor. I'm going to pass that to the CEO.
Thank you. I think there's a briefing we can give elected members on fines recovery in general that talks about our practices and when the trigger points are and when elected member is involved. We can do that one.
That clear that one? Yep, thank you. Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to pick up on Councillor Cocking's point, whilst I appreciate perhaps where his mindset is at, I would not be in favour, from my own personal view, of sending out a message that, you know, if you have a pretty good excuse, write to us and we might waive the fine for you. The fact is, if you've earned the fine, it's usually well done to you. Now you've got to pay the fine. And over a period of time, if you are unable to work with fines recovery to pay off the fine in a number of opportunities that you presented, it would have to be a pretty serious a series of reasons, so perhaps then we could consider it. But I would like to see people go through the whole and exhaust every opportunity to pay their fine and to ensure that people are abiding by the laws that we set. Otherwise, if we have fines that are, you know, if it's right to us, we might think about it. And if you write a really good story, we might even feel really warm and fuzzy all about it. I don't want to send that message out. I might be the bad guy here, but you earned the fine, you pay the fine, and the penalties associated with it. So unless you have a legitimate, really good story, and I don't want the floodgates to open up, Councillor Cocking, because this money is outstanding to the ratepayers as well to run their municipality.
Councillor Cocking.
Through the chair, I suppose one of my key concerns with it is that we are potentially budgeting for this as a, this is on our books, is it, as a fine, as a potential income that we would be getting. So it's sitting on as an unpaid fine that we are expecting at some point. So ultimately we're budgeting for, you know, there's $951,806 there as debtors that we're expecting to pay. So if we're sort of basing our books on people who aren't paying the bills, and but albeit it's not a huge amount of money, but I just think that, you know, $285,000 worth of fair chunk of unpaid, and I suppose the likelihood of that not being paid seems reasonably high. I expect, you know, people should be paying their fines if they get a fine. People can't at times, and I think that we are basing our potential income on a figure that's not necessarily real, because the likelihood of people paying that is low in some instances. So I just, that's all I'm saying. I just think that we might need to, and I've brought this up consistently in 3 years, every now and then, about us needing to look at our public places bylaws and looking at how we put out fines, because ultimately we're banking on money that we're not necessarily getting, and I think that there's potentially other ways of us looking at doing that. That's all, because if we're not getting fines paid, then it obviously sends a signal that there is some, there isn't the consequence for those things, and we do need to get on top of that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cocking. Mr. CEO?
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Move on to 14.1.1. This is the CEO's report. I have somebody move his report. Councillor Orrick, have a seconder. Councillor Satour, any against? Questions of the CEO's report, please. Take it as read, but do you have questions there? Thank you, Councillor De Brenny.
Just in with TCA, how are we progressing with us actually having a seat there and a vote? Are we getting anywhere, or what's happening?
Don't discuss later. Through the chair. As a general thing, I'm on there as a stakeholder rep. We are in the process of negotiating with TCA on how we proceed next in an MOU, and that's one of the things we're discussing.
They haven't given us any guidelines of what they expect for us to maybe have a vote, considering what we give to the community?
Yeah, that's being discussed.
Thank you.
Councillor Orrick.
thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. CEO, you're meeting with Rugby Union, Rugby League reps. What was the feeling from those clubs with their sport moving forward?
Thank you, through the chair.
Sorry, in relation to the ANZAC Oval.
Yes. So they were quite candid with us. They had been having meetings with NTG on where they could relocate to. So they talked to us about that. So we learned quite a lot then. So then the next discussion becomes who would take over those facilities, and it would, you know, potentially be us. So we've asked to be included in that sort of stakeholder group.
Thanks, Mr. CEO. Councillor Banks.
Thank you. I have a question, but just supplementary to that, is there, when will we get briefed on the details of that? Because it's quite significant information to consider in the big picture, given that the sport is underneath of our SFAC and those questions that you've asked. When do we expect to have a briefing on the additional information that...
Thank you. Through the Chair. We were hoping to do a briefing tomorrow night after the... one of the forums, that place is no longer available, so there's a clash, so we're looking at it another time right now. So it's imminent.
Okay. Thank you. I just have a question in regard to your attachment to actions. Is it appropriate to ask questions on that now? Is that process appropriate? Yep. Page 80, just the motion that has been... It's a question that's... taken to you on your report, but the director, Alan, has been just around the Red Tails, Pink Tails, Right Tracks program, just a status on that.
Yep. So through the Chair, an MOU was sent to them about 6 weeks ago. About 4 weeks ago, we had a phone call with them. They had some questions about it. I sent an email 7 days ago asking where it was at, and I've had no responses.
In here where you have the councillors' reports for November, it's listed as Councillor Price. I think it should be Deputy Mayor, just for future reference.
That had not escaped my attention. That will be fixed. We have actually noted previously everyone as councillor, so that will be fixed from now on to anyone who's Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Move on to 14.2.1. This is a paper put up, Protect Alice, Home Security Initiative Interim Report. This is a follow-on from our most recent discussion, and I think it was an idea put forward by Councillor Melky. This has been advanced somewhat, but there's a recommendation there tonight to enable councillors to continue down this path. So I will ask, are there any questions before I put it to the vote? Councillor Melky.
Thank you. I think it was a... credit should go to all the elected members.
Okay.
It was a,
please
it was
don't
a
give
thing.
Me a lesson.
No, no.
Just
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I've got some good comments on this and I appreciate the work. But you're asking us to make a decision, and as presented one and two, I'd like to suggest that, yes, I had a fair bit to say about this and that I'm very supportive of a plan as such. We discussed along the lines of looking at what council can do, and our biggest asset is the fact that we have a database of our residential ratepayers, and we are able to contact them and engage them in a way that could provide marketing and educational programs and information that will assist them to secure their homes. And there were a number of ideas around that, including rolling... when you're ready. Rolling neighbourhood info public sessions in public, as we might do for public arts. At this stage, the way it's presented, I look forward to the development of this program. Director, I feel that you listing Neighbourhood Watch NT, which is logical, and Crime NT, Victims of Crime NT, is very logical, but in the case of this motion, how I would like to recommend it reads is to remove that from the actual point one and just simply read it as approve officers to continue investigating the viability of council to implement a program which improves residential home security and safety. That's all. In relation to number two in the budget, we're to begin talks about funding and an amount of funding where I'm a little bit too far away from that at this point in time. I don't have the relevant information that supports that kind of amount, whether it's less or more, whether it's that's the same sort of money that we need, and where it actually comes from. I think that's a secondary thing when we receive the report and the detail of the report, who the partners are, and essentially what I would love to see happen is that the database is created into a what's available to many organisations that can reach their members. And, you know, weekly, monthly, bi-weekly newsletter can go out where we can really communicate with them. We have the ability to do that. I don't know if we have that physical structure in place at the moment. But I receive, as many of you would receive, many emails from many organisations, that whether I'm a member of their organisation or not, I do receive emails. But I think that's something that we can work to. I don't know what the dollar value will be, but right now I'm struggling to understand why 2 was placed in there. I think what's important is to arrive at anything with a view to succeed, and whatever that takes comes in the detail of the report, and then you would place the dollar value, because it would then simply be logical. Whether it's $1 million, $500,000, the number is irrelevant to me at this point in time. I hope you don't take that as a criticism, Director. But that's just my view, elected members. Over to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Councillor Melky. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I think that this is a great initiative. This was a really good example of when we all work together to create an idea from an idea and all sort of put in. So it's really great to see that this has come through. I support what Councillor Melky is saying as far as the money story. I think that once we have a good read on where the COVID reserve is up to in terms of how spent down it is and what we've got left, then we can look at reallocating. I'm really supportive in us moving forward. I think that they're both quite worthy partners, and I think, you know, whether we limit it to those or not, I think the report sends a good direction, but I think we just need to see more detail. And look, I think it's, you know, the residents of Alice Springs will be really appreciative of this assistance from Council, and I commend officers for getting this to us with the turnaround that you have, so thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Cocking. Councillor De Brenny.
Yeah, can I just have a clarification? With the victims of crime, my understanding that's a compensation pool for victims, isn't it? So are we saying that we want to put $500,000 towards that pool to help compensate victims? But what's the other jurisdiction in them? Because I know with victims of crime as well, I think their claims are up still, you know, they're 2 years behind. So I'd like to know how we got victims of crime in there. Where, and I do agree with Councillor Melky, there's lots of other things that we could look at and then set our budget to them, processes or who we can support. But the initial idea is fantastic, but I'm just, my understanding of victims of crime, it's a compensation pool.
Thank you. I'll go to the Director in a moment. The process of Neighbourhood Watch and victims of crime, today I went to an event that both of those promoted and there were 25 seniors. A month ago I went to another one, there were 48 seniors. They have good connections through it. It's not about funding one of them, it's about using their networks to understand how we can go forward. I agree with Councillor Melking and the three of you spoke. I don't think it needs a monetary number on there yet, but I do think we need our officers to continue to investigate the viability, and using the databases and everything else that these other two organisations have, because they represent a certain sector of the community that is looking for more community safety. So that's, I see why that's come up there. I will go to the Director and then I'll go to Councillor Ulrich.
Thank you, through the Chair. That was well responded on my behalf. And just highlighting that victims of crime did lose all funding in February of this year, so they have no more funding.
So no compensation claims to be put through victims of crime at all anymore?
Through the Chair, that is my understanding, that funding was ceased. The compensation is a payment towards the increase of security. Victims of Crime and Neighbourhood Watch have a very good connections with all repairers and service providers here that are very trusted, and the funding is towards that security upgrade.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need.
Thanks, Councillor De Brenny. Councillor Ulrich?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You actually answered my question. I can see the need for a Neighbourhood Watch and Victims of Crime being in there purely to work with their database and contact points. I think that's a valid point. And you already answered that, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think just to clarify, the databases of these organisations may be helpful, but I think the more useful thing is their expertise and experience We've got the database in terms of the ratepayers. And I think just those potential options of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think that they're all in the right direction heading in that way, similar to how the security, what is it, BizSecure grants that the government have for businesses. I think that we're sort of looking to offer for residents a similar scheme where people get an assessment and they say, well, look, these are the things that you could get done, and then be able to make the best bang for buck for their safety and security, as opposed to just randomly going out and buying something that may not necessarily be the best fit for their premises.
Thanks, Councillor Cocking. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, thank you, Director. I'm alarmed to hear that what you've just updated us, that information around victims of crime are no longer receiving funding. What can you just, what more do you know about this, and how does that impact the service that they provide going forward? And is there, I guess, some way for victims of crime to resolve this issue, or is that simply just that's the end of that?
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. I go to the Director.
Take this one.
Oh, sorry, to the CEO.
Just switch on you. Through the Chair. Look, we probably need to do a bit more research into that to provide you a good answer, so we can do that. Take that on.
Thank you. I would certainly like to know more about that, especially as such as we're working with these organisations, but if there is any sort of any support that we can offer in terms of whether lobbying for them on their behalf to reinstate their funding or something along those lines, I think it's important. Thank you.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. So do I get from the room that there's support for point one but not for two? Councillor Melky, you don't? Yeah.
I believe we need to remove the limiting factor of naming organisations. I wouldn't be opposed to those organisations being approached at all, but if you put that in a motion, it limits to those two. I'd like to make it open to as many organisations as you see fit to include in your report, Madam Director, if you accept that.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Melky. If we left those two in and added and other organisations. Okay, thank you. You're happy with that? Okay, so we can make that slight change, please. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to call... so I'll get somebody to move this dot point one, please. Councillor Cocking, seconded Councillor De Brenny. Any against? Could I then suggest we defer to until we get the report back? Would that be accepted? A straw poll on deferring? Okay, so thank you. That clears that one up. Have we gone on for that one? Because mine are a bit scattered here. Can you give me a page, guys? Here we go. No, that's different. That 14.3.1. Can you tell what page? Oh, so this one's been moved. Yeah, okay. Okay, we've jumped up to page 147 of 278. If everybody's refreshed their machine, there's been some changes, sort of moving feast. Okay, item 14.3.3, is that where we're all at, Mr. CEO? Thank you. This is the Youth Initiative Progress Report. There's a lot there. There was a lot of work done last night. Are there more questions of this, or I take it as read. Councillor Melky.
Yeah, I get to talk about it. So this one was the one I called myself out of the room.
Okay, all right, so you do want to talk about it, I'm just checking. Councillor Cocking, the same, you want to talk about the items? Okay then, thank you. So what I will do is I'll ask somebody to remove standing orders. I'm trying to get that point. Councillor Melky, of a seconder, please. Councillor Cocking, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Okay, Councillor Cocking. Sorry, Councillor Melky, then Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to express my sincere gratitude to the director and the team. It's a very well detailed plan, and there's a lot in there. I've had the chance to really look at it after the advice, and knowing that I was going to speak to it, I wanted to be as brief as I could, understanding that everybody else had a chance to speak about it at length. With the details of this, what I'd like to contribute is some positive solutions rather than be in any way critical. And that's only possible if I highlight some things that I feel that could be assisting this process. And so the greatest risk to this whole program is, in fact, the level of detail that's been provided. My concern is that it's set up with so much involved with the budget line that is at $75,000. Madam Director, is that correct? Just $75,000, just to be, I'm happy to be corrected. So there's a number of amounts that I'll get to.
Okay, I'll go to the director to get an answer for that one.
Yep, Plan B, $75,000 from the Capital Infrastructure Fund.
Okay.
Through the chair, that's an uplift to existing budget, so
yep.
That's just detailing what we need in addition.
Yep. So I guess I'll come to the point without going through all the details. I feel that when we're being requested for additional funding and there is amounts of, I'll just find the page, sorry, forgive me.
147 or 148?
So there are three amounts that are required. Thank you very much. And why do I not have the same information? Sorry, here we are, 152, thank you, correct. Financial impacts. There's financial year 21, the uplift of $125,000. The financial year 22 is $324,000, and then financial year 23, $295,000. My view is that this discussion has to be held in the budget setting environment rather than in this very quick decision-making environment. And it also allows us to consider how we can best improve by providing, if not more, finance to ensure that any funding that's provided isn't set up to achieve a result, but the best result. And so what I'd like to think is if we identify through some more hard look at it, then maybe we need more funding, maybe we need to partner up. And some of the things that I considered that aren't in here, it's touched on with the Arundel Community Boxing Academy, but there are many, many organisations that are sporting associations in this town that offer voluntary service, basketball, athletics, and the list goes on. If we were to engage those organisations and see what we can actually achieve, those are the kind of partnerships that I think would be ideal. They, through SFAC and those who use our sporting facilities, are able to, not just the facilities, the hardware, if you like, but the software being the members of those associations and what they can do, their links to national bodies. I just feel that it could be expanded upon further, and I don't want in any way to delay any good programming for the holidays or anything short term, but the discussion that we had as a result in the forum initially, which this was presented at, we identified a short-term and a long-term plan, and this was part of the long-term plan. And there's elements of short-term in here as well. And the main reason I understood we're having this discussion around youth is because of the growing antisocial behaviour and what we as a council can do. So there's got to be an element of working with police and an element of working with organisations that specialise in this field, youth services, not just sporting, but people who are going to deal with kids who are in that space, dare I say, on the wrong side of the law. If this is just aimed at the kids during school holidays, then this is perfect and that's fine. But I felt that we're targeting youth who have social challenges, who are caught up in the wrong side of the law, who may not be regular participants in school, who may not have a structure, a family structure like others, who are disadvantaged in many ways and are committing offences and are not coming out of this justice system comfortably and in a way that's going to help them when they become an adult. So I think we need to continue to pursue it, and I'd like to make sure that from a funding perspective, we have that discussion at the right time through council avenues, the long-term plan, but then the short-term stuff embraces what we really are trying to do, and that is about addressing the antisocial activity that involves youth in this town. That's my understanding of what council is, council's appetite and council's motivation to this sort of programming. I certainly support it, but I ask the elected members to review whether you, you've had the discussion, so I wasn't privy to that. But I think, Mr. Mayor, I've made my point, I think, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Councillor Milgi, just to assure you, our officers have worked through and have offered the interagency tasking and coordination group the potential of all of our facilities. It's not necessarily us to run programs at all of those, but if somebody comes forward with a program, we're more than obliging to work with them to achieve that. We just weren't going to sit down and invent the wheel. There is one that's been recognised there around boxing and around dancing. But I think that the officers have done a lot of work here that has presented a plan that, as you say, it's good work. I'm very happy to support it as it is there this evening and continue to see this evolve. So I was worried about the use of the facilities. We have offered that to all of the different agencies around that. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think also just for Councillor Melky's benefit, there was discussion around this being for all young people. So it's ultimately about creating choice and opportunity for all young people to have some more activities and some more engaging opportunities in town. And that was pretty much the essence of last night. It's not just about... initially, the initial conversation obviously was created from... antisocial behaviour and the what's happening, but that was the catalyst, and this is the result, because ultimately it's providing opportunity, you know, engaging opportunities for all kids, for all young people. I've got a similar question just in regards to that item two, and just wondering whether, like, although it does say it in A, it's very specific about one particular program, and I just wonder. They are included on page 150 under item 2, where it is all detailed there, but I think it would be good for that to be included, or just including but not limited to, or something along those lines that captures what you've put in item 2, all that detail, not necessarily all that detail, but just the fact that we are, as Mr. Mayor said, offering up our facilities, that there's work happening, there's the bronze medallion at the ASALT, there's the launch arrow tag, there's youth concert, you know, there's a lot of these activities happening that are going to be happening, the basketball, midnight bar, desert hoops. So I just think it's really important that we do reiterate that we are making those facilities available, and this isn't just about the Aranda boxing team, that we are offering that up. In this motion, I think would be good to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cocking. Councillor Ulrich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm quite happy to support the motions as it is. If you read 2 Part A, it's available to all of those things there, and it just says including then point 1 and then point 2 there then, so I'm happy with the way that it's the officers have presented it. Councillor Melgarth, in regard to the finance allocated this, can we, instead of just saying uplifting, but certain amount of dollars, as it's mentioned there on page 148. Can we just say a provision of those amounts and perhaps round them out? Because, as you say, we haven't had our budget sessions, but I think so that the officers have got some target to work within or towards, that we just label them a provision of, you know, 300,000 or 250,000, whatever it might be, just so that the officers have that have something to work with going forward with their work. Thank you.
So have we captured that? Okay, thank you. Councillor Melky?
Thank you. The one concern that I do have of all is item 2 and C in item 2, which is the YAG cease as a council committee after the last meeting in 2020. To me, that's a red flag where council has worked hard to put a youth action group, and I understand the difficulty of members attending, but ceasing that that group is, to me, not necessarily in the right direction. I'd rather review and work hard to bring it back. And no matter what reasons we've agreed to cease it or recommend to cease it, it's a contradiction, really. Somehow we've failed it in the current model. We need to review the model and bring it back through council. So if here we are trying to spend a considerable amount of money, in relation to putting up programs, and in one element of it we're not progressing with another program that we have had for a long time running. To me, that is a challenge because we've spent a considerable amount of money and time and effort with developing the YAG. The other thing to pick up on, Councillor Ulrich, thank you, there is short-term spending request or budget request and there's long-term budget request. If what I understand will happen tonight, if you were to approve it, councillors, that's rock solid now, that's a decision made. So we don't get to the budget, it's already a decision made, regardless of whether we have a rounded off figure or whether we have an actual figure. I don't think there's a problem with giving support to the short-term funding requirement, but when you mention financial year 21, 22 and 23, we need to get to, and it's not necessarily specifically in this motion, but we just need to understand within these 6 points, what of those elements are required for immediately, and that's stated here, and then what are those that can actually be deferred to conversations around budget time. So then we can actually, we as elected members have been given an approximate figure, so then we can consider at that time. So that's just my response to that.
Thanks, Councillor Melky. I will go to the CEO, then followed by Councillor De Brenny, Councillor Cocking and Councillor Satua.
Thank you, Chair. I'll attempt to answer all... Thank you, Chair. I'll attempt to answer some of the questions. So I do think the funding is a valid question. From the current allocation, we would get the Aranda Community Boxing. We would also be able to then value add to recommendation 5, which says high value partnerships. So that would be seeking other groups that could also be supported. So that recommendation allows, I think, Councillor Melky, for what you're talking about. And then also within the financial year 21, we could get that scoping started for the youth facility, which I think would be important to get started on. We removed financial year 23 exactly because a new council will be looking at that, so that didn't seem appropriate to put that in. If council were very uncertain about allocating too much money, you could just say financial year 21 is what you allocated, and then, you know, that's a lesser amount, so that could be one option. I do think there's value in the year 22, but that's one option. Part 4 of the recommendation does talk to long-term elements, which are education and employment. So I think those are beginning, hopefully, to address some of the things that you're talking about. The other one is, the Youth Action Group, or the Youth Group Advisory Group. I'll get the director to speak to that more clearly, but we've found that that in its current format is just not working. The group would still meet, and that's the intent. So they and there would be also another function that involves interaction with elected members for those who are interested in that type of format. So that's the thinking, that we'd have the group would continue, and they're currently focused on a number of really quite exciting programs, but then that council input would sit separately. Director, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, thank you, through the chair. And sorry you missed that conversation last night, but yeah, what we've found, we've done quite a review on the YAG and found that, as the CEO says, it's not necessarily working to the aims of the young people. It's trying to do a couple of things at once. It's trying to potentially have that interaction with elected members and have that political education, but at the same time it's also got opportunities in there for young people to run activities that have been nominated as of interest by them and be very action orientated. So what we would like to do is, yes, we will keep a youth action group. We think that's still a great name for young people to be very action orientated and to choose projects. At the moment, that's climate that they're working on from now until next June, to really just sort of put those things together, work with our other teams to be at night markets and opportunities to activate that interest in the community. At the same time, we would then work to introduce a youth council camp where we would have sort of, I guess, a sort of boot camp, ideally next September onwards, where we can have a number of days in a row where young people can work with elected members to really, I guess, enhance their leadership and political skills and that interest, so that we've got two distinct groups. There's also a consultation framework that is going to be built, that's written into this plan, and part of that would include giving our young people the opportunity to come into this chamber to help present the quarterly community development updates, to talk to you about what's happening in the youth program and their interests and things. So we try and actually get that done more regularly in this setting for those that are brave enough and interested enough. So hopefully that answers your question and makes you feel a little bit more reassured.
Can you wait for the others to have a go, or you want a quick response to that one? Okay, thank you. Councillor De Brenny.
Yeah, with this, you know, there is some good ideas in that, and, you know, there was a suggestion that I put forward to other people that might come in the future in regards to our, you know, a youth space that we can additionally run. If we approve something like this now, how will we incorporate that if other ideas and other options come up? We've got to be very wary of that. Councillor Melky, yeah, you're right in that. If we approve that, we've stated in there it's for one usage. What if better alternatives come up that we can incorporate and spend the money wisely and probably get better bang for buck? So, you know, that's my only thing. I'd like to know, what do you need from now to February when we come back? How much money you need to run what you need between that period? I'll be more than willing to approve that tonight, but the ongoing, I think we need to talk a little bit more about, because there may be other options that might come through the community.
I can take that as a first element through the chair. Yes, the scoping study for the youth space would look at interim spaces as well as existing spaces that we have. We've already identified four or five locations that could be appropriate, whether it's a partnership with someone who's already got a building, a rental option, an acquisition option, you know, or, you know, or in fact a new build. All of those would be part of that process. Hopefully that answers. Is that what you're thinking?
Along that process, yes, but, you know, are we going to have them fitted out and done between now and February? Because I'll be honest, you would never get industry to have them fitted out between now and then. You wouldn't even go to expressions of interest before February. So, you know, that's where we need to look at.
Yeah. So we could at least get started on the scoping process to see what's available. We could do some of that in-house. So we could do some of that. The intent was on the funding, if you wanted to go for financial year 21, we'd support, certainly, as you know, R&D Boxing, some of the other programs that are already agreed, and there would be the beginning of scoping as well. But we could be very judicious on how we use that money.
Thanks, Mr. CEO. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. And I also think that we need to see a bit more rigour around the bit more rigour around the figures for this. Like, I'm happy to support it, understand the need to have certainty to build a team and to get direction, and happy to support the direction. I trust the numbers, but I'd like to just see a breakdown of what that looks like, because ultimately there's not a great deal in the report that we've been given, unless I can't see it. But there's the in the back of this initiative, there's a 225, there's 313,153. Is there more than that, or is that?
Through the chair, we've had 1.5 weeks to work on this.
Yeah.
It's a bit. Yeah.
Understood.
You can only get so much detail.
But it's also the pressures heading into the Christmas period, but you're looking for certainty.
So I suppose on that, like, I'm happy. I support the direction, I suppose, and I agree to signing on to the numbers now. I'm not that comfortable with. I want to see have a bit more understanding of it, but I support the direction in which we're heading. I see the need for this to be a long term. Ultimately, this is something we need to build into a 10-year plan for council and for the master plan of town, or the work that's that the Smith CEO's been working on in the background. I think it's really important that we back this, but I think that as far as the dollar that particular figure goes, I think it would be good to get a bit more understanding around that, understanding that it is only a week and a half, and I know we want to get the ball rolling, but from my perspective, no, you've got my support for the direction. Just want to, before we sign off on the money, would like to see a bit more of a breakdown.
So can I ask from that, the last three talking about money, just before I go to the others, got lights on. In D, in B, there's a $75,000 figure. In D, there's $50,000. And so it's the one that's A in plan stage two. Would we be happy to put that aside at the moment? Just to get an idea of a ballpark, would that give our officers the ability to work through to the end of February? Would we be happy with that? I thank you. That just I'm just trying to frame this up. So I'll go to Councillor Satour.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Congratulations to staff on putting forward balancing a comprehensive yet a general report to with solutions and opportunities for our young people. I think what you've presented here is certainly in line with a lot of conversation, late night conversation that we've had in this chamber for quite some time around how do we provide opportunity for young people to be positively engaged. So congratulations on all of your hard work. I support it to be implemented immediately.
Okay.
And then to review it at the end of summer, given summer is usually a time for peak activity. So I think it's something that I support to put in place and then to review at the end of summer, come February, to then look at the numbers again. But what you've presented, I'm really happy with and really in support of. So thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Satour. I've got Councillor Banks, then Councillor Melky.
I didn't put my light on, but I'd be happy to speak to it.
No, Councillor Banks, then Councillor Melky.
Just echoing points raised by Councillor Satour, I too would be happy to put support to the recommendations. I take the note, the point, Mayor Ryan, that you've raised around the 75 and 50, I'd like for those to be approved tonight. If we need to defer the 393, 153 so that we have better understanding, I would support that. And for the benefit of Councillor Melky and Councillor DeBrenny, were you here last night before? Yes, you were. Councillor Melky, just for the benefit of where I stand is that I really support that we are moving, as Councillor Straw just raised, to make sure that our facilities are accessible and give opportunities to all young people, and I stressed that last night in forum to make sure that that we really look at ways to embrace our young people and offer opportunities and make sure that it's accessible to all. And I guess the win for us as a council is that government has taken action around a 24-hour drop-in station, which allows us to actually refocus back to what is the core business of council, and the director last night raised the point as far as councils. Where we excel is in our facilities that we manage, and really that we need to engage with other services for those more complex issues. So I feel relieved, and I'm sure the officers feel relieved as well, that that pressure's been in fact taken and focus off council, and gives us the opportunity to actually work in the space that is core council business. I think around the money, when we come to the money, we need to be very much keep in mind the fact that there's two things going on. We've got the stress of the issues that are happening in the community, which can be seen around crime and antisocial behaviour, but we also have the stress of our facilities and the upgrades that are needed. And so we have a responsibility, particularly in the library, and we had those conversations started pre-COVID around what that may look like. So to me, I think that money picture really just tacks on to background conversations, but I absolutely support the comments made that we need to be sure that we've got the full information around the money. A question that I have, two questions to through the CEO, if I may. The pool house, I've had questions on what is the pool house. Is that the building?
House next to the pool.
Yeah, I was thinking the one that we've utilised for accommodation previously. Yeah. And the other one is in regards to the document, which is a supporting document to the living, what are we calling it? Sorry. Our supporting doc. Our PowerPoint, Empowering Futures. Can we understand how much of a living document is this? So the questions are that we've had a week and a half, responded really well. I think last night, for the benefit of the media and the public that are here, there was lots of conversations around what that would be. But what I'd like to understand is, I'd imagine this is somewhat of a living document. Could you speak to that?
I'm happy to answer that. Thank you for your question. So the answer, yes, we're still at the early days. It's a guide or roadmap to where we would like to head in terms of principles as well as projects, but I think with any good youth program or any good program, there'll be development as we go.
Thank you. And just one supplementary to that, if that is the case, what will be our review cycle should we sign off on this? Do we have a plan in place? What would we expect? Monthly, bi-monthly, three-monthly, what would that look like? Quarterly? Report on those benchmarks or markers along the way.
We'll need to do a bit of work on that, but that youth plan that's talked about in the document will become the ultimate document, and I imagine that would come up with each community development cycle meeting. That would.
Thank you. So that, just to summarise, Councillor Melky, because this I raised last night, but for the benefit of yourself that, and to those that weren't present, I'm happy to support on those changes, because I think that it is a good time to be moving on a positive initiative such as this.
Councillor Melky, you can take us back into standing orders. No? Okay, sorry.
There's another wish for you. Pleased everyone's really on to the issues. Thank you, Councillor Banks, for your background. I appreciated that. And thank you all for your comments. I'm in line with most of the comments. I'm very pleased to pick up on the director's last comments to me that there is a resurrection of the AR group in some sort of a different model. I think that's fantastic. I just wonder if you would accept point C of item 2.C, that where it just simply says cease this as a council committee. I wonder if we could just change that and resurrect or bring some resuscitation to that by way of saying that YAG may well evolve or develop into something different. Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, where does it say that? 3B, that Council Youth Consultation Framework be developed. It doesn't, yeah. I didn't pick up that that's the YAG
sorry,
developed.
Just adjustment to existing programs on page 150. The YAG will cease the Council Committee after that meeting. It will be converted into a youth action program led by the Youth Program Unit. This group will focus on issues and topics identified by the young people. At the moment, it's just lost a little bit of its impetus. So we are trying now with the employment of a youth program officer to enthuse that.
So all I'm saying is I appreciate all of that. I read that. What this point does is it ceases YAG.
The current iteration.
And then you've introduced a whole new version of it, but I'm just saying you've stopped the YAG group, but over here you've got a new model. If that's accepted, I just wonder if it's captured it well. It didn't do it for me, but I wondered how you end something and then start something without actually linking it as it's an evolve. Is it an evolution or is it creation of a new thing?
Who is a specialist in this area.
Thank you. Through the chair, perhaps the wording would be more helpful. It's not intended to say that actually the youth action group discontinues, so it might be the way it's worded. Perhaps we could change it to the youth action group will continue but will cease as a council committee. Okay.
Thank
okay?
you, Madam Director. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Save me.
Okay, can we go back into standing orders?
There's a couple of more quick ones, I'm sorry.
All right, it is 7 o'clock, I'm just reminding you.
$75,000, I have an obligation to ask this question from my notes here, and that is coming from also a member of the public, and that is, there is a good question here in relation to where the funds come from. I wonder if it's, Mr. CEO, I've given that to you. I wonder, just to take
capital
it on notice, that the capital infrastructure reserves isn't necessarily, well, this is not a capital infrastructure spend. So I wonder if that's the appropriate fund, and I'll leave that with you, and we can review that. But obviously, it shouldn't.
Sorry, we need to clear it up because the motion will read that is where it's coming from. So it's not really a matter of leaving with the CEO to come back.
Well, then I'm through you, Mr. Chairman. I direct the question to the CEO.
Thank you. Until we finish our asset management plan in the detail we'd like to, the capital infrastructure fund is a bit nebulous in some ways. So I do think the removal of this amount will not jeopardise the overall position since we need more clarity on it. So I think it's a safe reserve to take it from.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move us back into standing order.
Thanks very much, Councillor Milkey. Could I have a seconder for that, please, Councillor Satua? Those in favour? Thank you. I now ask the recommendations with the changes, and one of those was removing Part A under Plan Stage 2. It seemed to be the major one removed from there. Do I have somebody to move this motion, the recommendations? Move, Councillor De Brenny. Seconded. Deputy Mayor. Any against? No? Thank you. While I'm at this point here, I will point out another discussion that was very strong in the most recent meetings around empowering youth. It is the difficulty for the community to recognise our youth champions. They are very rare, very, very rare, do they get recognition. When you look at the time of year with Year 12 graduations, volunteer SANT recently, the Duke of Edinburgh Awards last week, last night while you're all working hard, I was at St. Joseph's, which some people see as a difficult school. It was wonderful to see the young people have achieved there. So a request really across all agencies is it would be very good that we recognise our young or youth champions of our town. We've made a commitment as a council to take this up through our Council Connect newspaper. We hope that others will follow suit. I think there are some very good stories out there. They're not all told that well unless you make the AFL or some such thing. So look forward to how we promote our youth, not forever, the opposite. So thanks for that. I'm just flicking pages. I'm going through the document you saw as a living document before, Councillor Banks. Okay, 14.3. Different to what I got on here. Tell me what's going on with my paperwork tonight. Sorry? Okay, and what page have you got? Radio, thank you. And I've got the minutes from it, and that's what got the unconfirmed minutes. Okay, thank you. So the other things have been moved. All right, thank you. 14.3.4, these are the minutes from the last Creative Arts Recovery Grants Committee. I see the one later this week was cancelled today. I hope members got that in there. I got that in my notification. So somebody move these minutes from that meeting. Councillor Milkey seconded. Councillor Cocking. Any against? Thank you. Moving on to five, the minutes from the... Okay, sure. Then there we are. Okay. 14.3.5. This is the minutes of our Seniors Coordinating Committee, which is ably chaired by Councillor De Brenny. Would you like to move those minutes? Thank you. Could I have a seconder, please? Thanks, Councillor Ulrich. I didn't pick you because of age. It's all right. Are there any against? Any against? No. Thank you. Any questions from it? No. Tourism events? Are you sure? That's positive? Okay. Okay. Thank you. I move on to 14.3.6, tourism events promotions. As I was an apology and the acting chair wasn't there, could I ask Councillor Satour, would you move these minutes from the tourism events promotions? Thank you. Councillor Cocking, would you second them? Thank you. Any against? No. Are there any questions? No. Thank you. Okay, right here. 14.3.7, minutes from the Public Art Advisory. Councillor Satour, could I get you to move those? Thank you. Could I have a seconder? Councillor Ulrich, any against? Any questions? Thank you. Move on. So minutes of the meeting of the YAG Action Group, agenda item 14.3.8. Well, I can't ask Councillor Banks, she's not here. I can't move them because I'm in the chair. Councillor Satour, could you move them, please? Thanks, Councillor Satour. Could I have a seconder, please? Deputy Mayor, thank you. Any against? No, thank you. Any questions from that? No? Okay, thank you. Am I moving into tech services, 14.4.2?
Mr. Mayor?
Sorry?
I'm sure you've missed it for the right reasons, but 14.3.2 in relation to Tourism Events Promotions Committee, we have two names to approve. Did
no,
we?
That's... No, I need you to refresh your paperwork.
I did refresh, huh?
Okay. I understand what you're saying. That's why I'm having trouble moving through here, but that's not in there. Okay? Thank you. This is an item put forward by the Technical Services, agenda item 14.4.2. This is there's a recommendation there that all ovals listed below for consideration remain zoned PS until direction is received from the Department of Lands and Planning that the use of the facility has increased substantially and there is merit to council and the community in rezoning each facility to organise recreation. So this is sort of a follow-on from the discussion around the Albrecht Oval. Is that correct, Mr. Director? Okay, thank you. Are you moving, Councillor De Brenny? That was yes. Seconded, Deputy Mayor. Thank you. Any against? No? Thank you. That's carried. Okay, now move on to the minutes of the most recent Development Committee meeting, agenda 14.4.3. Could I ask the Chair to move those, please? The Chair? I thought Councillor Ulrich was the Chair. Thanks, Councillor Ulrich. Deputy Mayor seconded. Any against? Thank you, that's carried. Okay, are there any questions without notice? Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one in regards to Minister White's visit, the Indigenous Minister for Aboriginal Australians, or Indigenous Australians, is going to be in town. Just wondering whether there's a meeting planned or whether any representatives from council are meeting with him. Question one.
I'll ask the CEO to answer. Have you had any correspondence with Minister White's office?
None, that I'm aware of. Right, thank you. The second one, just in regards to the withdrawn report from Wilshire Street, which is the second time it's been withdrawn, just wanting to get a sense of when we will see it and I suppose the intention behind withdrawing.
So, the Director?
It'll go up on December 8th and it was the same as I explained last night. I made an error and I didn't give the residents enough time to attend the meeting, so as I explained last night.
Thank you. Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask a question that was emailed to me by a member of the public. It's in relation to why did the CEO and not an elected member represent the Mayor at the recent North Force event in October? Mr. CEO?
I wasn't invited. I could actually speak to one of the North Force reps and get the even better answer.
Through the chair, it was we were a bit late in what we were doing, and we could only. I made the decision as a North Force member to invite the CEO because someone else got it wrong.
Sorry, just to ensure that's captured in the minutes. The member would like that to read that in the minutes.
I'm going to move on to general business and go to the Deputy Mayor first of all in regard to a query around the Central Land Council.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's sparked my attention based on the fact that we are now engaged with them as a council following the meetings that were held with them, which I think is a good thing, and also concerns that were raised to me by local residents. Clearly the last couple of days there have been a lot of people sitting around at the front of the Land Council, so it must be a royalties distribution week. And I guess going forward, and I think I've raised this in the 12th Council, around what I'd like for us as a council to understand better what sort of measures will the Central Land Council undertake to support our community in combating some of the issues that we're faced with around the youth crime issue, around the alcohol issue in our community, and given that we are faced with a situation as we are currently where because of the distribution of royalties, it is likely that there will be higher levels of alcohol being consumed. More children in the community than usual as well. I see that they have a huge responsibility to our community, to the people that they service as well. And I would certainly like to, understanding last night when I put the question to you, Mr. CEO, that there wasn't much in terms of their contribution to the discussion, but I see that they have a huge role to play, and certainly as council, I would like to encourage their involvement in attempting to try and support us and the community as a whole to deal with some of these issues, considering that part of what their role is also contributing largely to what's going on within our community. So I'd hope that I'd like to see some more answers, I guess, coming from them and more of an understanding, and certainly have open communication between us as a council and the organisation itself, and also to understand ways that it might be that they could contribute in a positive way toward obviously what we've already proposing and put on the table, but anything else that they might be able to contribute toward as well, given that they are dealing with large amounts of royalties money, and it is largely affects adults, but there are children involved, obviously, in the futures of those children as well. So there's a lot to unpack in there, but I'd certainly like to see steps forward and more an open communication going on and those sorts of things towards problem solving.
Thank you. Through yourself, Chair. It's a good question and a big one. I think what we can do is encourage the open communication. We can start with that, and then we can get into some of the other matters about how we can work together better, if you're okay with that. The meeting on the last was a Liratipa meeting, and we were invited, so that probably not the right forum, but I do think that ongoing partnership is important, and so I can take that on.
Thank you. And just one more on that also. Given that it is our responsibility to ensure our streets are clean, also that they're, you know, it was very noticeable there were large amounts of rubbish left behind all along the highway there as well. And I know the highway's NTG's responsibility, but it's part of the municipality at the same time. I guess that's an issue of concern as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Move on to Councillor Banks in relation to a question around the Open Space Master Plan.
Thank you, Mayor Ryan. I just want to table a question to elected members for appetite around the Open Space Network Master Plan, which was commissioned in 2013 by Ross Planning. I understand that was delivered to the 12th, was it the 12th Council or the 11th? 12th Council. 11th Council or 12th, anyway, historically 2013. And I have only recently read or been made aware of the document and read the document, and it's quite interesting, Mr. CEO, reading through the document just to see the observations and recommendations that have been taken and were delivered to Council. It's my understanding that the report hasn't been actioned as such. It does give some direction somewhat, but if that's my understanding. Is that correct, Director Allen?
Yeah, through the Chair, it was put up to Council and they chose not to.
Thank you.
But in saying that, from that, Council then commissioned the Parks Advisory Committee through that documentation.
Yep.
And for the Parks Advisory Committee to then make recommendations to Council for them to make a decision about. So out of it, there was an outcome of the Parks Advisory Committee to be started.
Thank you, and thank you for reminding me of that. I'm just newly appointed on the Parks Advisory Committee, and at the last, we meet bi-monthly. And look, when I read through the document, it just strikes me as really interesting because there's a lot of crossovers, in particular about observations for precinct parks and neighbourhood parks, and in particular a city recreation park. And so we have got, and as well, it actually ties into the use document that we've approved tonight in around some of those key outcomes, Quadra Play Park and those kinds of things. What I'd like to ask elected members, usually I'd put this through the Parks Advisory Committee, and I didn't only because I was getting my head around it, but all I would like to do at this is request that we give an action for the Parks Advisory Committee to review the recommendations and report back to council. The only reason I'm bringing it to council is because we meet bi-monthly, and so the next time, I guess bi-monthly would be February, I think, because of the Christmas break, is to make sure that it gets into the papers and actually can get the ball rolling. I'd imagine that the there's a lot in it, and there'd be quite a lot of time that would need to be spent on that. And, of course, the Parks Advisory Committee are best suited to, first of all, review and then give their recommendations forward. And the only reason I didn't table it at the time is because I was getting my head around it and it kind of came to me after the meeting. So I'd like to put to council that we put it to the Parks Advisory to review the recommendations and report back to council, and I just open that to elected members, if there's any comments around that.
Thank you, Councillor Banks. In relation, you got an answer to that one, have you, Councillor Milk? Is that you answering that? Certainly. And then Councillor Coffin.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. Thank you, Councillor Banks. It was the 12th Council, and we spent a considerable amount of time dealing with it. And I recall, if it's the right one, I'm pretty sure I'm about to speak to the right document, but it provided us with a master plan that identified master parks, focusing energy, focusing resources and expenditure on creating these master parks around town, and not so much that, so we're not spending a great deal of money right across all of the parks. It identified that we could, the trend at the time was that people, municipalities or councils were really interested in developing bigger, more supported parks, catered for a wider audience, family-friendly, all of those things, with pet-friendly as well. And we identified certain parks within the municipality, and we did come to a decision. It was around funding, but we went from ignoring parks or just treating parks, not ignoring, sorry, take that back, treating parks. It came back, it came after somebody said, sell the parks. I can't remember who that was now. Oh, that's right, it was me. So we said, sell dirt that isn't used, and it blew up in the community that we want to sell our parks. So from there, we went and had a look at what we can do with our space, and it came back with a comprehensive plan, which was supported largely, I guess. It was adopted. I'm pretty sure it was adopted. So I think we need to look at the decisions around that plan, of because as I understand, council, the decision made is our current position. So if we need to understand what that decision is and whether we still agree with it or not, and then we need to go around the funding, because it is a very, very good document, and I was very pleased to be part of that discussion. So hopeful that helps a little bit.
Thank you, Councillor Melky. Councillor Cocking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Melky, for that historical context. As the most recent Chair of Parks, the report wasn't necessarily referred to that much. Like, I was there to define the precinct-level parks and neighbourhood-level parks and looking at what some of the basic requirements are for those parks, whether it's bubblers, whether it's paths, whether it's play equipment, shade. But the most focus for the last 3 years for the Parks Advisor has been rolling out shade and upgrading play equipment and looking at a range of parks that had been identified by the Technical Services Department for then the committee decided which of those parks were going to be the focus, and then looking at what those parks needed based on community consultation. So the guiding document hasn't been as operational in the Parks Advisory as I would have thought it might have been, and I do think that it would be a good time to review that, but also look at potentially a new direction. We've got placemaking as part of our strategic plan. We've got various opportunities within parks to renew that, and I would be supportive of a renewed report to be able to give us some really clear direction, because it was my understanding that there wasn't a universal acceptance of that report back at the time when it was originally passed. From my understanding, it was not non-controversial. So it's it's still there. It's given us the description and the kind of definitions of the different parks across the areas, but it hasn't been the Parks Advisory Committee wasn't sitting on our desk being referred to regularly.
Through the chair, one of the other big factors from the Parks Advisory Committee was to find water saving initiatives in the parks, and that was one of the tasks. For example, Gillam Park, a lot more green open space was taken out and a lot more plants put in. So that was one of the initiatives to be a leader in the community of water usage, and that was another task of the Parks Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Director. I'll go back to Councillor Banks.
Thank you, and thank you for all that have participated in the conversation. Look, I just want to be really clear. By no means am I hanging off every word of this report. And I absolutely think that we do a great job in our parks. The reason that I'm tabling this is that when reading through the information, there's a lot of parallels that we're currently facing around CBD revitalisation, active spaces, and I think Councillor Cocking raising the point to... I don't think it's a guiding document because it wasn't accepted as a guiding document. It was only a report back to Council, and from what has been communicated, there were some recommendations that that prompted the adoption of a new committee, and that's happened. And in conversations offline with the Director, how best set is that committee? And I think that on that committee there's some really good thinkers, and really it's about... is it appropriate? So the question is it appropriate to say to the Parks Advisory Committee, here, take a report from 2013 and pick the eyes out of it and bring your thoughts back? Because I'll make a point that I've had conversations with people on the committee and there's lots of criticisms and support, but there's general support about having a conversation. But there's a lot of critical thinkers on that committee and they wouldn't shy away from having the opportunity to engage. So the question now is about, and I think it's good that I'm having this level with elected conversation at elected member level, is it appropriate to tie this document into the master planning? So Mr. CEO, if I could get your point of view, would it be appropriate for you to review the document and to give some guidance, report back to Council on its appropriateness to go back to the Parks Committee if we were to accept it as an action or recommendation from Council? Or do we need to, in fact, conduct a new review? Like, it would be a shame to waste a good report, so I'm not saying hang off every word, but would it be appropriate to, in your opinion, to either review it yourself and have you may have already, or would it be good to utilise our committee and give them something to really sink their teeth into? And given that, it's about picking the good work out of the report, in their opinion, and offering that back to Council rather than saying we adopt this report from 2013.
Okay. Thank you, through the Chair. Look, I've scanned the report. Did you turn me off? Okay. Did I say the wrong thing? No, so the intent would be, it's a 2013 document. I do think there's value in reviewing that. We're not exactly flush with time at the moment, but I do think there's a process we could go through. Officers could look at it to say, does this still have relevance? What are the elements that are good? And make a recommendation on there to the Parks Committee or to discuss that. So I think that something like that could work.
Can I just ask an air of caution? I'm going to copious meetings in this building day on day on day, and we are working very hard towards My Alice, we're working towards the youth issues, we're working towards the work around Anzac Oval and so forth. Could we be realistic and put this off to the new year? Because I'm just very concerned that I don't want to see us drop other balls at the moment. So I would really ask that... I'd encourage every elected member, and if they don't have a copy, we could get the director to send it out. I'd ask them to read it over their Christmas holidays. But could I seriously look at a March or April discussion on this? I just understand the workload that's here at the moment, and the CEO is very obliging, but But I can say to you, others say, the CEO didn't get back to me. Well, he's got so much work on his plate at the moment. So,
Thank you.
I get that?
If I may respond, absolutely. And the reason I've tabled this today is because, as I said at the beginning, Parks meets every 2 months. However, with Christmas, it won't be till February. So the question really was, my intention was to put it back to Parks to review that. But now we've had much more of a conversation around it. I just want to really stress that there is a lot of overlapping, and had have known the information of this document for, and I'm going to bring out the Anzac Oval issue, and the information given before around meeting with Rugby, you know, compulsory acquisition, what the very real reality might look like, is that the government's, NTG's idea is quite embedded in this document around a city park. And essentially, the recommendations in that 2013 document reflect, you know, simultaneously the ideas that are coming out of NTG around centralising, making a hub, and then now we're drawing on elements. It's coinciding timing. It's not saying that someone's taken information from, but I'm just saying that there is a lot of information that you could throw away in there, but there's also some very key observations that were made back in 2013 that I myself, when I read that, I thought, well, far out. I would have looked at things differently had have I known this document earlier, but that's not a criticism. I'm just saying that I'm stressing the point, Mr. CEO, is that in my opinion, it's worthwhile with master planning and with the CBD revitalisation, particularly around parks, just to see the recommendations that are in this document. So, Mayor Ryan, in conclusion, yes, I would be happy to... I will not table anything for action today, but I do... That point that you made as far as reading it would be worthwhile, and I'll reconsider as far as how... And I'd be happy to talk to the director around what would be the best way to move forward with the betterment of the community at mind.
Thank you. Councillor Melky.
Thank you. Notwithstanding what you had mentioned, Mr. CEO, and what the Mr. Mayor, and what the CEO had briefly mentioned as well, my recollection is we had been given five options in that report, and we made a decision. And I understand that process is now what we do, and still applies to us. There's a decision on the floor. We did decide which of the five options we favoured. And I think we need to, in the first instant, go back to the decision and understand if we have an appetite to turn that decision over or to pick it up from where we left off, if that's what happened. And then I don't think it's appropriate procedurally, this is just my opinion, my view, that you can't just give it to the Parks Advisory because the council at the time made a decision. We spent time and effort and had a lot of discussion around it, and the decision was made which was the best option. I think we need to revisit that, and yes, over the period of time, we should get a copy, and I think it's entirely appropriate that Councillor Banks, you draw on the history and any archived document, but also importantly, whether it's still current and valid, because a lot's happened since 2013 in relation to parks, policy change, legislation, whole range of things, so it may not be valid. It may be that we have to start from the beginning again. Similarly, the parking reports and other reports that we've had redone. I guess I'm after understanding what it is that you, as an elected member, Councillor Bank, need, and sort of go for the... What is the end goal in your mind? Work our way backwards, because I'm not sure if that document is just the only way forward. So maybe through you, Mr. Chairman, I could ask Councillor Banks that question.
I'll make it brief. Happy to make brief. So I asked for the report three or four meetings ago, and we all got that. Stephanie Dominguez circulated that report, so we've all got that. I don't. It doesn't give reference to the recommendations put to council, but in the document, there's more than five recommendations. There's heaps in there. So I'm only going based on the document. So I'd be happy if I could ask that we have first available opportunity, what resolutions came out of this report tabled back to council, and then I can frame that around. So I'm not going to put forward anything, but in the long term, where do I think? I think that there's a lot of information around the observations made that could guide us in master planning, which is about making sure that our infrastructure and upgrades to our infrastructures are improved and work to the best interest of the community, and that we don't generate waste financially and environmentally.
Thanks, Councillor Banks. Councillor Orrick, wanted to talk about flooding.
Can you predict? My knees are good. I can't predict via my knees, Mr. Mayor. But look, just for the elected members, today we had Access Advisory Committee meeting and a presentation from Emergency Services. And just a reminder from that is that we are still in a Bureau of Meteorology La Nina event up until May next year, with predicted heavy rains sometime across the top end, and the cyclone and monsoon activity very likely to bring some heavy rain down through the centre. So it's just a timely reminder that we had today. I know the council has very good disaster plans in place, but it may be timely, Mr. CEO, just to touch base with your various departments, i.e. the library, the waste facility, and even this premises here. If we do get a 1988 flood, there'll be water all through these buildings. And it's just a brief word through your meetings with your staff about general preparedness. So it's just a timely reminder, Mr. CEO.
Thanks very much, Councillor Rick. Matters for the media, we dealt with both media present. Thank you for your attendance. Just to elected members, an interesting person sitting in the gallery this evening you may not have met, Brent Warren, is currently in Alice Springs and has taken up the role at looking after Territory Families, Housing and Communities, which is the renaming of your department, isn't it? And that's correct? Yeah. Thank you. And Brent has been at most of the youth, or all of the youth sort of actions, interagency and so forth that we've been attending in recent weeks, and is the instigator behind the 24-hour drop-in that started last Friday. So if you have any queries, he's very open to discuss with you at any stage. So thanks very much for attending. Our next, you're the longest sitting bureaucrat, I think, in the last year, so I do who's come to meetings, so I do appreciate that. Next ordinary meeting, Tuesday the 8th of December, which will be our last for the year. There are other functions that are coming up, and Emma will keep you informed of all of those. There being no other business, I ask that somebody move that we adjourn to the confidential section. Look at their hands waving. Thanks, Councillor Mielke. Seconded, Councillor Satua. Thanks very much. Let's reconvene in 10 minutes. Thank you.